The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
A couple days before my birthday, I was reading this devotional, Seeking God's Face. Jan and I have this at home, and the assigned reading just a couple days before my birthday was Ecclesiastes 12. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years draw near when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the strong men are bent, and the women who grind cease working, and the sound of the grinding is low, because all must go to their eternal home, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the breath returns to God who gave it. The teacher of Ecclesiastes is reminding us that we are dust and our days are short on this earth. One day we will wake up and we will realize that most of our days are behind us and we cannot go back and change how we lived any of those days. I turned 33 last Sunday. And as I read these words a couple days before my birthday, I wondered, am I still young? Or have the days of my youth passed? Some of you are shaking your head. You're so young. Okay, maybe compared to some of you. I'm not saying any of you are old. But unless I set a family record, I'm surely a third of the way through my life, more than that. And I don't often stop to think about the scale of my whole life, the scope of my whole life, to see the bigger picture. I'm usually too focused on what's right in front of my face. What's the next thing to do? Have you ever had a moment that made you stop, step back, see the big picture? Have you had a phone call? And you heard the news that someone you love died tragically. Everything changed. You were standing in a whole new world at that moment. And you felt how life just runs through our fingers. Or maybe when the doctor sat you down and said, this is serious. Or do you remember the day when you realized, maybe I'll never go back to the home I had to leave? You're standing in a whole new world. There are these moments in life where we realize just how small we are and how little control we have over our days. None of us know when we will reach the end of our earthly life. Lord willing, it's many years from now, but it may not be. We don't know. We're not guaranteed any number of years on this earth. When Jesus gives this teaching about the coming of the Son of Man, he is just days away from the end of his earthly life. And part of him knows it. He knows his days are short. And Jesus' teaching here that we heard is a wake-up call. It's a splash of cold water in the faces of his sleepy disciples to wake up, to see the big picture. Because, like them, we have our heads down. We're focused on what's right in front of us. How many hours do I need to work this week to make sure I can pay the gas bill this winter? What do I have to do to make sure my kids are off to school on time? We're so focused on what's right in front of us. Maybe in this season we're caught up in our own sadness, our depression as the days get short and the light grows dim. We're so focused on what's right in front of us. But Jesus says, keep watch. Keep watch. You do not know on what day your Lord will come. That's what this whole season of Advent is about. Keeping watch. Keeping your eyes open. Because the Lord is coming. Jesus talks about the days of Noah. And he says that in Noah's time, people were doing what they've always done. Eating, drinking, falling in love, getting married, putting up with in-laws. It's what we do still today. It's what Noah must have done as well. He must have been eating and drinking, and we know that his three sons got married. So Noah had to deal with his in-laws. This is the stuff of life. And it's not bad. It's a gift of God. These things are a gift of God. So what was the problem with the people in Noah's day? Verse 39 says, did you notice? They knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came. They knew nothing about what would happen. In other words, they did not live with a sense of the end in sight. They did not have a sense of how fleeting their life was and that there was a bigger picture of which they were a part. They were short-sighted. They didn't live for a greater purpose. But Noah was different because his life and his work flowed from listening to God. The work he did was not just about a paycheck. It was not just about finishing a project. Noah lived with the end in sight because he believed that the Lord's day of judgment and salvation was coming. So his work was aimed at that day. It was pointed there. It was preparing for that day. Humans are naturally short-sighted. We can't see very far. And we need some glasses to help us see the bigger picture. And that's what Jesus wants to give us in this teaching, some glasses to help us see that the Lord is coming. After teaching about Noah, Jesus turns to two pairs of workers. There's two men in a field. They're working. One is taken and one remains. There are two women grinding at a mill. One is taken and the other is left. Two workers in each case. They're doing the same exact work, same exact job. So what's different? It seems the first worker is just working. But the second worker is working and watching. Working and watching. The second worker sees that what they're doing is more than plowing the field. There's something beyond the work, that the Lord's presence is near. And they're keeping watch. They're paying attention. They're listening. They have their eyes open. Jana and I lived in Durham, North Carolina, for about a year. And we lived near the university. I was a grad student. And usually I would ride my bike. But sometimes I would take the bus. And on this bus route, there were usually one of two drivers. And these two drivers did the same exact job. They drove the same bus, sat in the same seat, opened and closed the same door, followed the same route every day. But these two drivers did their work so differently. The first never looked students in the eye when they came on the bus. And I remember he would often yell at students who didn't sit down quickly enough. You could tell he was on edge. But the other driver, he greeted students with a smile every morning. He knew many of their names, and they knew his name. And they would sit close to the front to talk to him as they road to school. Two workers doing the same work, but it wasn't the same at all. It wasn't the same at all. So keep watch. You do not know on what day your Lord will come. In Colossians and Ephesians, Paul uses this interesting phrase, redeem the time. Redeem the time. And that word in Greek literally means to buy up the time. And Paul is trying to teach believers that they have to take care with how they use their days and their hours. He wants them to live each moment well, to live it in God's will, to see that every day is a gift, and it's all to be used for God's glory. It's all to be used for sharing God's love, for speaking God's truth, for blessing and for celebrating. So keep watch. You do not know on what day your Lord will return. It's hard to keep watch. It's hard to lift our eyes to see the big picture. Some of us may feel like our life doesn't serve a greater purpose, that our job feels pointless. It's just to get a paycheck to cover the bills. Or maybe in retirement now, we're not sure what our purpose is in life. We don't always know what to do with our days. Others of us may think that everything rests on our work, that it's all on us, that our whole future depends on how well we do, how hard we study, and we feel the weight of the world on our shoulders. How do we find a way between these two ways of living in the world, these two ways of working? Well, when we try to figure out how to live well, I find it's usually a good idea to look at Jesus, don't you think? So not long after Jesus gives this teaching, he is in the Garden of Gethsemane with his friends. He takes three of his closest friends a little further along, and he says, keep watch, pray. And Jesus goes a little further himself to pray. And maybe you know what the disciples do. They start to pray, and they're out. They fall asleep. And Jesus comes back and finds them sleeping, and he says, wake up, wake up. And Jesus goes back to pray. He comes a second time. Again, they're sleeping. Wake up. Wake up. He goes back to pray. A third time he comes back, and they're still sleeping. They're still sleeping. We are Jesus' friends. We are so often asleep. We struggle to stay awake. We struggle to keep our eyes open to see what's coming, to see the big picture of our lives, to see God's presence and power at work among us. We are so easily fall asleep. But there is good news, friends. Jesus doesn't leave us in our slumber. He comes back to find us and says, wake up. Stay with me. Stay with me. Keep watch. Pray. Jesus comes back to us. But the news is better than that, friends. Jesus isn't just our cheerleader. He doesn't just say, try harder. No, he goes off to pray for us. He's the one who stays awake through the night for us. When we should have been praying, Jesus was praying. That's the good news, that the Son of Man, Jesus, the true human being, the one who lived the life we could never live, did it for us. So when Jesus was praying in the garden, he was saving us even before he went to the cross. Jesus was living the life God wants us to live. And through that life, Jesus saved us and set us free. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So keeping watch, it's about keeping our eyes open for God's presence around us, in the people we meet. It's about listening for God's voice in the conversations we have, in the moments of stillness. Keeping our hearts open to God's love, to allowing it to break into our hard hearts. And we see Jesus living this out. Jesus was always talking to the Father. So we might try to keep watch by having some more conversations with God as we work, as we wash the dishes. Keep watch. We see how Jesus was always living and serving with love for others. So we might try to listen carefully to our coworker. We might try to have just a bit more patience with our teenage son. We might look the cashier at the grocery store in the eyes, call them by their name that they're wearing, and say thank you. We might ask the nurse at the doctor's appointment, how's your day going? Jesus lived his life focused on God's will, listening, paying attention. So we might try to ask the Lord, what should I do in this situation? Should I say yes or no to this opportunity? And we see Jesus stepping back from his work and his regular routine to go away on his own to a quiet place to pray, to reflect, to learn how to pay attention so that when he goes back down and the crowds are around him, he is not caught up in the chaos, but he is still and he sees and he notices and he watches. So maybe we might try taking a break from our busyness this season as all the momentum gears up toward Christmas. Maybe we might slow down for an hour, for 5 minutes to reflect on how we're living. We don't know when the Lord will return. We don't know if he will call us home before he comes back. In either case, our time on this earth is short, and because it is short, it is precious. It is a gift. And so we seek to redeem the time, to live wisely in our days, in our hours, in our minutes. The church is called to live and work and watch in the way of Jesus. So today, I'd like to close with a few questions for us to pray through, to talk to Jesus about. Do I feel ready to meet the Lord tomorrow? If not, why? What do I need to change? Do I have a good balance of working and watching, praying, reflecting, listening? What small step of faith can I take this week to keep watch for the Lord?